You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The practice of holding youth in police cells while they await their court appearance began as a temporary measure in 1989. However, the practice has continued over the years, worrying legal experts and youth advocates as it breaches New Zealand's international obligations and children's human rights. I spoke with Children's Commissioner Andrew Beecroft about the practice and why it's so dangerous. I began by asking him why youth are being remanded into police cells.
Well, the short answer is that we don't have room for them in the youth justice residences, and we don't have enough community-based bail homes and supervised homes where they can be housed. So when the existing facilities are full, then the overflow is a police cell. It was only ever meant to be a short-term option way back in 1989, but the real reason is that we've dropped the ball on good community-based homes. Now, that would take the pressure off the four youth justice prisons. That would mean we wouldn't need to use police cells. So really, use of police cells is directly the result of inadequate community-based facilities. We dropped the ball on that. We've got to fix it and fix it fast.
How does being held in a police cell affect young people's mental and physical health?
Well, it's an adult police cell. Young people would always be kept apart from others. So it'll be solitary confinement. Poor sanitary facilities, not good access to food, not good access to support systems. If it's over several days, not access to education. Sometimes the light will be on for 24 hours so they can be properly seen. So in every way, a police cell, solitary confinement experience is simply unacceptable and it's very risky.
So are they kept in these cells sort of in just for a whole full day? They're not allowed outside at all?
Yeah, I think they're in police stations. They're not easily accessible to the public. It's not easy to come in and out of. Yes, often they can be there, in the worst cases, for 4, 5, and 6 days, 24/7. It's hard to put into words how damaging that is, how inappropriate it is. I guess my concern is always the self-harm and suicide risk that's happened in the past. Frankly, we play with fire when we put vulnerable young people in solitary confinement in a small police cell. The risks are enormous, and if it was my son or child, I'd be down there every hour to check how things were going. I'd be really concerned, and I think the risks are enormous every time we do it.
And do they have any specialist care while they're there, or is it just they're in a regular police station with
Correct.
Just police?
They'll have a social worker, we hope, come and visit them at least once a day. But it may be impossible in a busy police station to get family to come in and see them. I know police will try to facilitate that. But essentially, it's in a small, pretty barren, concrete adult cell, 24/7, solitary confinement, lights on. I mean, these cells are never designed for long-term accommodation of any kind, let alone for children.
And does this breach our international standards or obligations?
Yeah, it absolutely does. And we have an obligation under the Convention on the Rights of the Child. There is rules that are made under the authority of that convention that we treat children not in degrading and inhumane and ways that heighten vulnerability. So on every level, we're in flat-out breach of the convention. And we've been criticised by the United Nations for doing it in the past. And we're out of step with most Western world countries. I mean, it's a small, little feature of the system that not many know about, that came in as a temporary measure in 89, and we've never got rid of that option, and we should have done, and we could do it really with the stroke of a pen, or at least the stroke of a bill before Parliament.
And is it, I suppose, a last resort for many judges to remand youth into police custody, or do judges not really have any qualms with doing it?
Oh, no. Well, I can only speak for myself. It was a very high risk option, and I think anyone who's been a judge in the youth court did it as a complete last resort and did it with a real sense of concern. I mean, when I was a district court judge in Whanganui and the youth court judge, I'd go and see the police cells in advance. I just wanted to know what were the actual conditions that a young person was going to experience. And I did that because on one occasion a 17-year-old boy early in my time in Whanganui said to be no suicide risk in a suicide-proof cell hung himself. And it was a tremendously traumatic experience for the whole police station, the whole justice community, really. So we can never underestimate the risks. That was back in the late 1990s, but it's always stayed with me.
Why do you think nothing's happened? If this sort of thing's happening, why has there not been any change?
Oh, I think successive governments, frankly, have sat on their hands on it. I don't think we take it seriously enough. I think we underestimate the effect on children. This government, this new Oranga Tamariki, credit where credit's due, they have committed themselves to building and opening up existing community-based facilities so that young people who don't need to be locked up in a cell can be there. And then we've got the youth justice residences for the cases where there's the most risk. But we've had ebbs and flows in the past, you know, we've had peaks and then we've got it under control and then people have taken their foot off the pedal and it's got worse again. My view is until we remove the option legally, there'll never be the real incentive to put in place what should have been in place 30 years ago, and that's good community-based facilities.
And like many parts of the criminal justice system, does this disproportionately affect Māori?
Absolutely does. Sadly, up to 80% of young people kept in police cells are Māori, and you could probably argue that it's the area of the overall criminal justice system where Māori are most overrepresented. And tragically, it happens at a very early age, and I guess it can begin to entrench attitudes to the justice system, which we don't want. We want to be committed to turning young people away from a life of crime at the earliest opportunity, not locking them up in adult police cells, which really is the reverse of what we should be trying to do.
So what would you ideally like to see happen in the future?
Well, my big aim and one of the big, I guess, priorities of this office is to have that part of the law that gives the youth court the option to remand a young person in an adult police cell, to have that option removed and struck off the statute books. That's our big campaign, and I hope that could be done within a year. That's our aim.
Do you feel this government will be more open to doing this than previous governments?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm not sure. I think whenever there are issues of law and order and security asserted and raised and debated, there's always an aversion by the government of the day to take the bold step. But I hope this government will be bold. And it doesn't need to be that bold, because if we've got sufficient other facilities, it needn't be an issue. And look, there'll always be the need to keep young people in a police cell, say, waiting for their first appearance in court. And in a small rural part of New Zealand, if they're caught on a Sunday night, they may have to stay overnight so they can just be settled, carefully managed, and go to court. But once they've been to the youth court, the option of the police cell should go.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.